the supplication on Fridays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, the first before the bringing forth and the giving of life, and the last after the annihilation of all things. The All-Knowing who forgets not him who remembers him, and decreases not him who thanks him, and disappoints not him who supplicates him, and cuts not off the hope of him who hopes in him. O Allah, I call thee to witness, and thou art sufficient witness. And I call to witness all thy angels, and the inhabitants of thy heavens, and the bearers of thy throne, and thy prophets, and thy messengers whom thou hast sent out, and the various kinds of creatures thou hast brought forth, that I bear witness that thou art Allah. There is no God but thou, thou alone, who hast no associate nor any equal, and thy word has no failing nor any change. And that Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, is thy servant and thy messenger. He delivered to the servants that with which thou charged him, and he struggled for Allah as is his due. And he gave the good news of the truth of reward, and he warned of the veracity of punishment. O Allah, make me firm in thy religion as long as thou keepst me alive, and make not my heart to swerve after thou hast guided me, and give me mercy from thee. Surely, thou art the giver. Bless Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, and make me one of his followers and his partisans, and muster me in his band, and give me the success of accomplishing the obligatory observance of Friday, and performing the acts of obedience which thou hast made incumbent upon me within it, and receiving the bestowal which thou hast apportioned for its people on the day of recompense. Thou, only thou, art the mighty ones.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers, dear sisters, Salamun Alaikum, so welcome. This is another episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. We're speaking about hijab fashion in the view of Islam. Please listen to this episode. Salamun Alaikum. And today is Thursday, 2nd of Jamadi al-Awwal, 1445 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 25th of Aban, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 16th of November, 2023
of the Christian Gregorian calendar. For today, we listen to verse 59 of chapter Asa.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها النبي قل لأزواجك وبناتك ونساء المؤمنين يدنين عليهن من جلابيبهن ذلك أدنى أن يعرفن فلا يؤذين وكان الله غفورا رحيما.
O Prophet, tell your wives and your daughters and the women of the believers to bring down over themselves part of their outer garments. That is more suitable that they will be known and not be abused. And ever is Allah forgiving and merciful.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Upon the occasion of revelation of this verse, it is recorded that at that time, Muslim women used to go to the mosque and establish prayer behind the Prophet. Peace be upon him and his pure progeny. At night, when they went to perform their evening and night prayers, some young, abusive men sometimes waited in their way and heard them with their jokes and evil words, and by this means they bothered them. The verse was revealed and ordered the women to observe their veil perfectly so that they would become recognized clearly and nobody could find any pretext for bothering them. So in this verse, the Quran orders the believing women not to give any pretext to mischief mongers.
Life is not the same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. You are the light. You guides me through my darkest nights. Shows me right from wrong in a world that often lies. Cause I don't need, anyone, anything in life. But you know I don't need anyone to show me my way. No, I don't need anyone but you.
As the last episodes of this program, today's special during this week, we look at hijab fashion in the view of Islam. The variety in styles of implementing the same Quranic law is so because Islam is a world religion. It cannot be confined to one religion or tribe or culture, one region or tribe or culture. Therefore, you see that the Muslim women in Arabia use abaya, the Persian Muslim women use chador, the Afghani Muslim women use burqa, the Indo-Pakistani Muslim women use niqab, the Malaysian or Indonesian Muslim women use kerudung, the East African Muslim women use Bibi, and now in the West, the Canadian Muslim women use mainstream clothes worn with a bigger scarf over the head and a loose outfit. Islam is not concerned with the style as long as it fulfills the basic requirements of jilbab. This is where the religion and culture interact with one another, and therein lies the dynamic aspect of the Islamic Sharia.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The role of modest fashion in Islamic culture. Among the other dangers of fashionism, we can refer to financial responsibility. Islam advocates financial responsibility and discourages wasteful spending. Fashionism can lead to extravagant spending on clothing, which may contradict the principle of financial responsibility. So what is the Islamic perspective on fashionism? This is, I think, the gist of our discussion here. From the Islamic perspective, it is not a sin to follow fashion trends or appreciate stylish clothing. However, there is an emphasis on balancing fashion with faith and values. Quran and Hadith encourages moderation, humility, and modesty in attire. Muslims are encouraged to prioritize their relationship with Allah and their moral values over materialistic desires or societal pressures. They should express themselves through their attire while upholding their religious obligations. The key is to find a balance between adhering to Islamic principles and participating in the world of fashion. So in case you want to make a balance between the fashion and the faith, what would be the answer? The Islamic perspective on fashionism encourages finding a balance between fashion and faith. Muslims are expected to uphold their religious principles while expressing themselves through their attire. This balance involves modesty and humility and prioritizing values, expressing identity, and avoiding extravagance.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
Beyond the clothing, behavior and manners is very important. Islam clothing is but one aspect of modesty. More importantly, one must be modest in behavior, manners, speech, and appearance in public. The dress is only one aspect of the total being, and one that merely reflects what is present on the inside of a person's heart. Islamic dress sometimes draws criticism from non-Muslims. However, dress requirements are not meant to be restrictive. Most Muslims who wear a modest dress do not find it impractical in any way, and are able to easily continue with their activities in all levels and walks of life. Today's a special you are listening to from IRIB English Radio. Now it's time for tips. For today, this tip. If you're a Muslim sister, be a friend. That is one of the tips for Muslim activists to deal with hijab. Sharifa Al-Khatib, Vice President of the North American Council of Muslim Women, says, "What young Muslim women need more than anything else is friendship." She explains that most of the time they feel alienated and cannot befriend their parents, who may reject their wives or cannot relate to them. This leads to young women searching for solace in friends outside the family. This is why it is crucial that activist Muslim women extend a warm, friendly hand to young Muslim women, whether in organizations or in the Muslim community in general. Al-Khatib also stresses that being a friend is not just speaking the words of friendship. She says, they think it's enough to say I love you and I care about you. But real friendship and caring comes through living with the person, being around the person.
If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses abd, blesses his creation, blesses his servants, he wants to see that ni'mah on them.
Right.
So if you were making $50,000 last year and this year you're making $100,000 and the same thing still, you know, you're wearing the same thing, dressing the same thing, still shopping at, you know, Walmart, still driving the same car, nothing has changed in your life, Allah wouldn't like that.
Yeah.
Allah wants you to show the ni'mas that He's blessed you with in your life, towards your children, towards your family, towards your loved ones.
Right.
But in the same time, we also have to think of, you know, how those brands are manufactured and where they're manufactured. Right. And, you know, if it's okay for us to support them in the ways that we are supporting them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we end up buying a little purse for $1,000, $2,000 or shoes for $2,000, we have to really look into the history of that particular shoe or that particular purse.
Mm-hmm.
And how is it made and how many people have suffered. Like the other day when we spoke of gemstones and we spoke of diamonds.
Right.
How can you enjoy a diamond when some kid has died because of that diamond?
Right.
When so many people have lost their lives because of the diamond industry. So it is still something to think about, you know, that a lot of people suffer, they're not paid, you know.
Adequate.
You would not believe it. You know, some of those people are paid as low as $8 a month.
Right.
Not a day, not an hour, $8 a month working for those companies.
So we were speaking about hijab. Inshallah, we continue this interesting topic on this controversial and interesting topic on the next episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Don't forget to listen to us. And till then, we leave you in Allah's protection. Have a nice time.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi. علي إمامي لفتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي لا إله إلا الله الله ربي محمد نبي علي إمامي لفتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي
Food for thought.
Hello everyone. For your information, once Hazrat Zainab Kubra, peace be upon her, described a strange dream she had to her beloved grandfather, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. The Prophet replied, O my daughter, that tree is me, who would shortly leave this world. The branches are your father Ali and your mother Fatima. And the twigs are your brothers, Hassan and Hussein. They will all depart this world before you do, and you will suffer their separation and their loss. Thank you. Take pieces of bread from me. And your soul will never be broken. And if I am your haven, you will never be homeless. One whose cloak is me will never be naked. And one whose resort is me will never be destitute. God is above all powers. IRIB English Radio.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very beautiful hadith which has been transmitted from Imam Muhammad Baqir alayhi salam. This hadith is about the creation of Eve. As you know, there's a bit of a divergence between how Islam narrates the creation of Eve, the mother of human beings, and the way that a lot of other religions, by way of example, Christianity, describes this. As you know, it's been, according to what's popular, of course, in Christianity and Christian theology, what's popular is that Eve was created from one of the ribs of Adam. And, a lot of people, they conclude from this that perhaps her existence, her creation was subordinate to his, and she is of an inferior nature than this. But according to the Islamic teachings, which are manifested in the Quran and the Hadith, this is incorrect. And her existence and her creation is not in any way inferior to that of Adam. And let's look at what's been mentioned in this hadith regarding her creation. Abul Miqdam, the narrator of this hadith, he says, I asked Abu Ja'far, meaning Imam Baqir alayhi salam, what did Allah create Eve from? He asked, what do people say about this? I said, they say that Allah created her from one of the ribs of Adam. So this is interesting because it shows that this Christian teaching, it had kind of permeated the Islamic society. And there's a lot of reasons for this. One of them is because, a lot of the people of other faiths, we don't want to name them in particular, they had begun infiltrating, Islamic community and began gradually propagating their own teachings in the form of erroneous hadiths. These are known as Israelites, or teachings of other religions which were falsely propagated as Islamic hadiths. That's another topic. Let's get back to the hadith. he, meaning Imam Bakr alayhi salam, said they lie. Was he incapable of creating her from something other than his rib? I said, may I be sacrificed for you, O son of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What did he create her from? He said, my father told me, informing me from his fathers, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah blessed and most high grabbed a handful of clay and mixed it with his right hand, and both of his hands are right. And from it, he created Adam, and with the rest of the clay, he created Eve. Right? So this indicates that from the clay that was remaining, from which he created Adam, the God Almighty, he created Eve from that. So in no way can we infer that her existence or her creation is inferior, or that she's subordinate to the existence of man and the male. The only criteria in Islam for nobility is taqwa and piety, not in any way tied up to the gender of the person. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We're looking at the creation of Eve in the words of Imam Muhammad Bakr alayhi salam. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRB English Radio. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRB English Radio in cooperations with Sevier International Schools Network. I'm really happy that we have Ali Nasser here, Hassan Nasrullah, and Hussein Ruhullah, brothers from Sevier International School. So, Assalamu alaikum, brothers. Welcome. How are you?
Wa alaikum assalam, sir. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Hassan, how are you?
Fine, sir. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. Thank you. And Hussein?
Alhamdulillah, sir. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. Thank you. Good. We all are fine. Hope you are fine, inshallah. Let's get started. Inshallah, today, in this session, we will talk about ayah 32 and 33 of Surah Al-An'am on page 131. What? So, brothers and sisters, turn to page 131, ayah 32 and 33 of Surah Al-An'am. Let's get started. But first, let's listen to the recitation of these two verses.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wa mal hayatud dunya illa la'ibun wa lahu waladdarul akhiratu khayrun lilladhina yattaquna afala ta'qilun. قَدْ نَعْلَمُ إِنَّهُ لَيَحْزُنُكَ الَّذِي يَقُولُونَ فإنهم لا يكذبونك ولكن الظالمين بآيات الله يجحدون.
Nice recitation. The same as our previous sessions. First, let's see what these two verses talk about, and then inshallah we'll move on to the recitation, okay? And tajwidons. Ali Nasir, Hassan, and Hussein. Allah Almighty says in these two verses, very beautiful point, very beautiful point. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, ayah 32. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَعِبٌ وَلَهُ. Allah Almighty says, the life of the world, dunya, is nothing but play and diversion. وَلَدَّارُ الْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لِلَّذِينَ يَتَّقُونَ. And akhirah, or hereafter, is surely better for those who are God-fearing. Then Allah says, أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Do you not apply reason? Don't you think about it wisely? Then in the next ayah, Allah says, قَدْ نَعْلَمُ إِنَّهُ لَيَحْزُنُكَ الَّذِي يَقُولُونَ. We certainly know that what they say grieves you. لَيَحْزُنُكَ الَّذِي يَقُولُونَ. Whatever the disbelievers say to you, O Prophet, they are trying to stop you, they are trying to insult you. A lot of things they do. This, of course, what? Makes you sad. Okay, O Prophet? Makes you sad. It might even discourage you, okay, from spreading Islam, from trying to guide them, okay? When you see, for example, these people are not accepting your words, this might make you sad. This might grieve you, okay? But remember, O Prophet, فَإِنَّهُمْ لَا يُكَذِّبُونَكَ. Yet it is not you that they deny, وَلَكِنَّ الظَّالِمِينَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ يَجْحَدُونَ. But it is Allah Almighty's signs that the wrongdoers deny, refuse. So, the first ayah, let's talk about the first ayah, some points about the first ayah, then the second ayah. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَعِبٌ وَلَهُ. Allah says that if you compare, look, Allah is comparing the life of this world to the life of hereafter. Allah says the life of this world is like a play or diversion. Like it's something in comparison to the hereafter. It's nothing. It's just it's something entertaining for a short time. But the day of judgment, the life in hereafter, is eternal life, and this is better for you, O Mu'minin. There are a lot of people who might be, what? Busy doing worldly stuff, okay? Worldly deeds. They're always trying to, for example, find money, make money, a lot of money, every day, more and more, more and more, more and more. Buy this car, try to buy the other car, try to buy this car, try to have 5 cars, 10 cars, 100 cars, million cars, okay? They're trying to have. And also trying to have many buildings, trying to have many companies that are extending their business, okay? This is very good. This is very good. Allah does not say, don't do this. Allah says, it's okay. It's good. But this is bad. What is bad about it? The bad thing about it is that if you are only busy doing these things and not caring about your akhirah, this is the bad thing, okay? If this kind of entertains you, amuses you, and does not let you think about your hereafter, this is going to be what? Useless. And this is going to be harmful to you. In the day of judgment, you will regret this. That why I only struggle for my dunya. And I didn't care about my akhirah. Okay? Like a lot of people are there, okay? Like kids. Okay, kids don't care about the day of judgment. Kids don't care about tomorrow. They're just trying to enjoy their moment. Yes, they're playing with clay or these things. There is a nice Persian poem. I want to say it. Maybe English speakers may do not understand, but I explained. Okay, dila ta kay در این کاخ مجازی. How? For how long in this like virtual life, in this unreal life, okay? کنی مانند تفلان خاکبازی, like kids you're playing with clay. It says that how, for how long are you going to be like playing in this world, okay? Trying to only and only work for money, for companies, or for your daily life or worldly life. A little bit think about your hereafter. Okay, here, this world must be what? A kind of farmland. This is my expression. A farmland for your akhirah. Prophet says, "Ad-dunya mazra'atul akhirah." Dunya is like a farmland, okay? This is my translation. Like a farmland for akhirah. It means you should what? Plant, you should crop things that should benefit you in the day of judgment. Okay? In the day of judgment, you cannot have your cars with you in the hereafter. You cannot have your money, $1 million, $1 billion, you can't have them with you. Okay? That's why you should, of course, you should do those things, okay, for a comfortable life in this world, but not only that. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, work for your dunya as if it never ends. As if dunya is eternal. It never
ends.
And also, at the same time, work for your akhirah as if you only have this day. And tomorrow is going to be the day of judgment.
قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني عصمة أمري قرآني طوق نجاتي قرآني
نبض حياتي. How to learn Quran easy. What is the correct way to read the Quran? What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran? Be with Let's Recite the Quran.
And you will not have no time. So let's move on to the tajweed rules. Some of the important ones I will mention. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَعِبٌ وَلَهْوٌ. If you stop at لَهْوٌ, are we allowed to stop, Hassan? Make a pause there. No. إِلَّا لَعِبٌ وَلَهْوٌ.
Yes.
But it's better to continue, yeah?
It's better to continue, okay. But we can pause.
Good. لَعِبٌ وَلَهْوٌ. So how about لَعِبٌ تَنْوِين? After تَنْوِين you have wow. لَعِي. How do you read it, Hussein?
لَعِبٌ.
Yeah, لَعِبٌ وَلَهْوٌ. تَنْوِين plus wow.
Yes. لَعِبٌ
وَلَهْوٌ. You merge the sound of تَنْوِين into wow. إِلَّا لَعِبٌ وَلَهْوٌ. لَعِبٌ وَلَهْوٌ. So وَلَدَّارُ الْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لِلَّذِينَ. How do you read it, Ali Nasir? خَيْرٌ لِلَّذِينَ. Am I right?
No, we should.
How do you read it?
خَيْرٌ لِلَّذِينَ.
خَيْرٌ لِلَّذِينَ. تَنْوِين plus لام. يَرْمَلُن letters, you merge them. The rule is gone. وَلَدَّارُ الْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لِلَّذِينَ يَتَّقُونَ. Here. قِلَى. Hassan, isn't that qila opposite to sila?
Yes.
What does sila say?
It says that it's better to stop, but you can continue.
Qila says it's better to stop, but you can continue. Yes. Sila is just opposite. It's better to continue, but you can make a pause. Okay. There is a similarity and there is a difference between them, yes?
Yes.
The difference is that qila says better to stop, sila says better to continue. The similarity is this. Both say that you can make a pause.
Yes.
So, next one. أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Next ayah. قَدْ نَعْلَمُ. قَدْ. Dal has an echoing sound. قَدْ نَعْلَمُ إِنَّهُ. The rule of noon and mim mushaddad. You remember?
Yes.
Extend the sound of noon mushaddad. لَيَحْزُنُكَ الَّذِي يَقُولُونَ. فَإِنَّهُمْ لَا يُكَذِّبُونَكَ وَلَكِنَّ الظَّالِمِينَ وَلَكِنَّ الظَّالِمِينَ. Allah, heavy sound. Sound, not a sound. ظَالِمِينَ. ظالمين بآيات الله يجحدون. So, very simple rules are there that you should follow. You should practice them and take into consideration. Now, it's time to recite the two verses. I will recite, inshallah, brothers and sisters. Make sure you listen carefully and repeat. Hassan Hussein Al Nasir, ready?
Yes.
Yes.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
وما الحياة الدنيا إلا لعب ولهو
وما الحياة الدنيا إلا لعب ولهو
وللدار الآخرة خير للذين يتقون
وللدار الآخرة خير للذين يتقون
أفلا تعقلون
أفلا تعقلون
قد نعلم إنه ليحزنك الذي يقولون
قد نعلم إنه ليحزنك الذي يقولون
فإنهم لا يكذبونك ولكن الظالمين بآيات الله يجحدون
فإنهم لا يكذبونك ولكن الظالمين بآيات الله يجحدون
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
أحسنتم. Allah bless you, brothers and sisters, dear listeners. Thank you so much for being with us. Thanks, Hassan Hussein Ali Nasir. Inshallah, we'll be here with you in the next coming sessions. Stay with IRB English Radio. Thanks to IRB English Radio, Sevilla International Schools for cooperations. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa alihi al-Tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. وعجل فرجهم
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
Sheikh Baghir Sharif Al-Qarashi decides to compile...
So we can consider Sayyid Hadi Khosrow Shahi...
Shaheed Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr.
He was born in Qadhimiyya.
The first and the most important thing that we can learn from Allama Tabatabai is his great effort.
In this regard, I should like to say that one of the great benefits of the late Ayatollah Sayyid Mahmoud Shahrudi was...
When we look at the works of late Rawzati,
there is a famous sentence from Mirza Khalil Qamarani that he says in Farsi, "Tuhid kalame baraye kalame tuhid."
Be more familiar with outstanding Shia figures in The Teacher.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. We welcome to another episode of the program The Teacher, an introduction into the lives and works, the religious and scholar life of the most outstanding Muslim ladies, personalities and dignitaries of Shiite world and Islamic world. I am Ata, the host of this program. Sheikh Rouhani and Sheikh Fadai are the two special guest speakers for today's discussion from the Islamic Hawza of Qom. Sheikh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum, brother.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And Sheikh Fadai, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.
Okay, for today's discussion, we want to talk about another outstanding lady of Islam, of the Shiite world, Umm Farve, the wife of Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam and the mother of Imam Jafar al-Sadiq alayhi salam. Sheikh Rouhani, give us some details about the early life and background of Umm Farve.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Of course, Fatima, or Qariba, the other title or name of this lady is also Qariba. She was mother of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, about whom Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam said that my mother, Umm Farwa, was a very true believer, mu'min, and righteous lady. And also Imam al-Sadiq praised and appreciated her a lot in the riwayat.
Yes.
And she was, of course, the wife of Imam Baqir alayhi salatu wasalam, and also mother of Imam Sadiq. She was called Umm Farwa or Umm Qasim as well. And she was among the Ruwat or the narrators of the Ahadith of Ahlul Bayt as well, this great lady.
Yes.
Salamullahi alayha. And of course, A'imma alayhim salatu wasalam, from A'imma alayhim salatu wasalam, Ruwayat or Ahadith are narrated about her virtues and fada'il. Mother of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam was the daughter of Qasim. Qasim was the father of this lady, was among the companions of Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam. He was known as the jurist or faqih ahl Hijaz, among the jurists of Hijaz. The father of this lady was. And of course, Umm Farwa, daughter of this man, was also a very great lady. She was buried in Baqi Cemetery. And the mother of this lady was Asma.
Yes.
She was also another great lady in the history.
That's all right. Okay, Umm Farwa, again, the role of the mother in nurturing the children. And the time arrived, Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam and Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam was really a critical, we can say, period of time for the Shiite world. It is believed that most of the authentic ahadith of the Shiites, isn't it, were narrated from that time. Also, the customs and the conducts were established on that time, Sheikh Fadai. So, was also Umm Farwa a ravi of hadith and narrator of ahadith or not?
Yes, Umm Farwa was one of the narrators of ahadith from her husband and from some other imams. And
yes.
Here we can see that at that time, the position of people was known by their relationship with imams. Mm-hmm. I mean, the position of Shiite people.
Okay.
As we have a hadith, اعلموا منازل الشيعتنا على قدر روايتنا عنا. If you want to know the position of our Shiites, check how much riwayah and hadith they narrate from us. And of course, just narrating is not enough. Narrating and understanding.
Yes.
And acting toward that. So,
and sorry, Sheikh, where to recognize the authenticity of this riwayat? Does it have any method?
You know, there are three sciences about hadith. One of them is Rijal al-Hadith.
Okay.
Rijal, check the people who narrated hadith, about their biography, about their beliefs, about their relationship with Imam, whether they were honest or they were liar. And we have another science, Diraya. Diraya, check and investigate the chain of that narrator. This is another kind of checking and investigating whether this chain can be authentic or not? Is it possible that these people narrate from each other or not? Whether it connects to Imam or not? And the other one is Fiqh al-Hadith. Fiqh al-Hadith investigates the text of Riwayah, not the Sanad documentation.
Okay.
Just the text, whether this text is real or not, whether in accordance with Quran or other Riwayats mm-hmm. or not. Mm-hmm. So we have three filters as three sciences
yes.
about Hadith. But anyway, the point is that narrating from Imams used to make a position for Shia, as we have for Umm Farah in the Science of Rijal, and she is known as one of the authentic narrators of Rivaya.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir. La ilaha illallah.
La ilaha illallah.
Okay, Sheikh, regarding what Sheikh said regarding the authenticity of the Ahadith, and also Umm Farwa, because from one side she was belonging to Qasim ibn Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr. So it is believed that there is a hadith by Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam, somehow, for example, validating Abu Bakr, you know, and belong. He says that I am from the lineage of Abu Bakr. Is this hadith authentic or not?
No, first of all, we should know that in the authentic narrative sources or hadith sources of the Shayu, we never have such a hadith.
Mm-hmm.
It is the first point.
Okay.
Only in Kashf al-Ghumma, which belonged to Erbali, he narrated a riwayah, this riwayah, but it is mursal. It means that the chain of transmitter, there's no chain of transmission for mm-hmm. this riwayah.
Mm-hmm.
Because Hafiz ibn Abdul Aziz, who narrates for Imam Sadiq this riwayah, Hafiz ibn Abdul Aziz lived in the 7th century,
mm-hmm.
while Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam was living in the 2nd century. So here Hafiz ibn Abdul Aziz directly narrate from Imam who lived 4 or 5 centuries before this man.
Oh.
So, of course, this is completely unacceptable.
So in the Elm of Rijal,
yeah,
and
it is called Mursal. Mursal, yes.
Okay.
Because it has no chain of transmission. So, mm-hmm. first of all, in the authentic Shiite sources, we do not have such a hadith. On Kashf al-Ghumma, we have this hadith, but it is from Hafiz ibn Abdul Aziz, who lived in the 7th century. He directly narrates this riwayah from Imam Sadiq,
yes.
who lived in the 2nd century. So, of
That's
course,
right.
this kind of riwayat, without any chain of transmission, cannot be accepted. It is about the Shia sources.
That's right.
In the Sunni sources, again, Zahabi narrated this riwayah, but without any documentary, without any chain of transmission. Again,
right.
that is Mursal, we can say.
Mm-hmm.
And then in some other Sunni sources like Tahdhib al-Kamal, it is narrated by Hafs ibn Ghiyas.
Mm-hmm.
But we see that in the chain of transmission, in the sanad of this riwayah, there are lots of doubts. And this riwayah of this Hafs ibn Ghiyas is not accepted by the Sunni scholars based on
That's
their
right.
own rulings about ahadith. And also Ibn Asakir narrated this riwayah from a person called Ismail. So this Ismail, of course, first of all, we should know that he was so much old at that time that he himself said that my memory is not working properly and whatever I'm saying might not be true. And also in the documents of this hadith of Ibn Azakir, there is a person called Ma'ad ibn Muthanna.
Mm-hmm.
Ahmad ibn Hanbal said that this Ma'ad ibn Muthanna is not adil, is not
That's
just.
Right.
His riwayah is not accepted. You see that even in the Sunni sources, this riwayah is not accepted. It's very, very, you can say, weak in terms of the chain of the narration or transmitters. That's why, this hadith, وَلَّدَنِي أَبُو بَكْرٍ مَرَّتَيْنِ, cannot be attributed to the Imam correctly based on the authentic sources of Shia and Sunni.
That's all right. Okay, Sheikh Falai, your final remarks regarding Umm Farwa.
There is a rivaya from Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam. He said, "Kanat ummi mimman amanat wa taqat wa ahsanat, Allah yuhibbul muhsinin." My mother was among the people who believed first, amanat. So the characteristics of Umma Farva. First, she was a believer. Wa taqat. Taqwa. She had the position of taqwa. It means she feared God. It's a spiritual position for the best servants of God. Then, wa ahsanat. So, what is that ahsana? It means she was pure, she was clean, she was not corrupted. When we check the verses of Quran, for example, in the Surah Tahrim, verse 12, we recite there, وَمَرْيَمَ ابْنَةَ عِمْرَانَ الَّتِي أَحْسَنَتْ فَرْجَهَا, like the word we have here, the term أَحْسَنَتْ, فَنَفَقْنَا فِيهِ مَنْ رُوحَنَا. When God wants to describe Maryam, as the one of the best servants, he says, the Mary, who was clean, was not corrupted, was pure and clean. فَنَفَخْنَا فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحَنَا. Then, because she was pure and clean, we gave her Jesus. فَنَفَخْنَا فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحَنَا.
Very good. People, so purity is the necessity condition for the mother of an imam.
For the mother of an imam.
Okay.
We can say purity from sexual corruption is the
Modesty and chastity,
base for iman. You know, if we do not stop ourselves, our souls, to go toward this corruption, we cannot claim that we are mu'min and Muslim. Here in this riwayah, amanat wa taqad wa ahsanat. So the real mu'min is the one who abstained himself from being corrupted by sexual desires. So with that corruption, we never can be a real mu'min. So this is the characteristics of the best servants of God. Being muhsin means, with sa'd in Arabic, means pure and clean.
As you said, the role of the mother, you know, and the motherhood is really important in parenting a child, because as you said, the pregnancy of the mother of an imam had also direct effect in the infallibility of the imam.
And only pure mothers can give birth to pure children.
And nowadays there are so many lessons for the mothers. You know, we know that there are some etiquettes for the pregnancy of women. For example, always being in the condition of wudu, reciting the Holy Quran, especially the mothers when they're pregnant. For the child, from the first months of the pregnancy of the women, there are strict and absolute recommendations for women of Islam, what to do and what not to do, you know, because they have direct roles.
Sometimes we wrongly believe that if a woman is corrupted, she just harms herself. No, it's not like that. Harms herself and her generation. Not just one son and one daughter. Just pure mother can give birth to pure children generation. That is a point. We can take it from that riwayah.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Fadai and Sheikh Rouhani. Umm Farva is buried in Baqi Cemetery. May Allah bless the soul of this outstanding lady, the mother of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, wife of Imam Al-Baghir alayhi salam, one of the greatest also women of Islam and the narrator of authentic ahadith. It is very kind of you. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program. The teacher, for more information, visit our website, aparstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. Another episode. God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
A teacher, the teacher of teachers. He changed the world for the better and made us better creatures. Oh Allah, we've shamed ourselves, we've strayed from Al-Mu'allim. Surely we've wronged. ourselves, what will we say in front of it?